Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Joey Clark coming up in about a half hour. Scott Stadhagen in the 11 o'clock hour. So please make sure you stay tuned for that. I'm going to roll through these texts. 251-343-0106. Ultra runner up first. What a delight to hear Doug Jones slander Alabama with his Confederacy remarks. He tears open wounds, long healed, and cries about the pain. We love to blame others for our failures, so he manufactures grievances. He exploits weaknesses in man's character for his own gain. What is the antidote? What is the message to our voters, both black and white? And, I mean, these guys who were just screeching democracy 6 years ago, 5 years ago, that we would never have another Democrat election, a Democratic election, Lord D., for the rest of our lives, Donald Trump's president. I mean, just like, there's a shamelessness to it. But at some point, they need to understand, these people need to understand that the shamelessness is obvious to most Americans. Maybe not all. Maybe not the boomer at the coffee shop plotting their next protest in a penis costume. But it's obvious that there are, like, these incentives to play the race card. And it was, at some point, people were going to reject it. That they were not going, I mean, the system was going to reject it as well. The system wasn't built for this sort of social engineering that they wanted to do. It all started with the civil rights era, and some of it was necessary. Because there was a bigger evil there. But didn't you build your entire political machinery on that foundation? You don't talk about whatever the issues are that the government has like a direct impact on, the economy, social issues, etc. You just play this over and over because it's easy, ill-gotten gains, and you get them. But at some point, the system's going to withstand that. And that's what we're seeing, that people at some point are going to question, like, well, why are we still doing it this way? I didn't vote for this. Well, you don't understand. Back in the 1960s, Alabama would do things to disenfranchise black voters. Well, it's not 1960 anymore. It's 2026. Well, you still have to be held to that standard. Well, then what about people in other states? Well, they didn't have these problems in the last century, so they don't have to be held to that standard. And you just go down this pathway and you keep asking these questions like, I didn't do any of this. Why am I being held accountable for the sins of the past? Well, you don't question it. Shut up, racist. Shut up, old Confederate. He sure wasn't crying. Doug Jones wasn't crying when he won in 2017 under the same system. Was he? Ella asked, do you know anything about her? Meemaw's chief of staff, just curious. Liz Fillmore, Governor Ivey's chief of staff. I think the entire support staff for the governor has one primary mandate, is to protect the governor from having any embarrassing situations. And they don't do a great job. What I don't understand, and I know there's all kinds of speculation out there. Here she is. She's elderly. She's clearly not physically capable of performing and executing all the duties of her office. Not to a satisfactory degree. Maybe she meets the standard. And look, she was voted. This is what we voted for. Why does she want it? I put yourself in that situation. And you're finding these health scares. It's harder to get up every morning. You have already an abbreviated day. Why wouldn't you just hand it off to the lieutenant governor to finish it off? Why not? Is this the best possible outcome for the state? To kind of be on autopilot? We haven't heard from Kay Ivey. She hasn't done a press conference in 5 years. She hasn't sat down for an interview in 2 years. Why does she want to be governor so bad? Why don't we hear from the governor directly? Why is it always a press release? And why isn't anybody else asking these questions? The guys who are like at AL.com, who do what they're told at the TV stations with the kind of groupthink orthodoxies, are quick to go 25th Amendment on Donald Trump. They were reluctant to on Biden. But here in Alabama, no one's thinking twice about it. Why? A new texture. My guess is the group that's running Alabama consists of, but not limited to, Gina Miola, Joe Bonner, and Jimmy Rain. But anybody else's guess is just as plausible. I don't think Joe Bonner and Jimmy Rain are involved. Now, she's the spokeswoman, but she's just doing what she's told. I don't think those are the three. And I don't even think it's Liz Fillmore, to be honest. But, like, the mandate here is clear. It's just kind of keep this intact until we can get to the finish line. And then we'll never hear from Kay Ivey again. And there's something kind of tragic about it. There's something deeply sad about it. Jason, good morning, Jeff. Does Judge Manasco have another move or will she fade away? They may try. I wouldn't put it past her. It's different to go all in on lawfare against the Trump administration and have some success. We start doing this to the Supreme Court. I think there are punitive actions they could take against judges. That they kind of can say, you got to knock this off. Some judges won't. The eye texture. Impressive you could tell all these no lies with a straight face. Lower three court right-wing judges. Say they're not right-wing judges. You're wrong about that. That's a lie. I like it, though. It's good for black folk. You normally don't vote to see the truth about MAGA. The eye texture, like, it's not about race. The eye texture, I'm telling you, if African-American voters in Alabama voted Republican, the legislature would not be bothering with the maps. It is partisan. You're playing the race card, and the race card's gone. It's no longer there. You've got to find a different strategy. Here's what you do. Do you have an idea? I text you. Just gotta have this conversation right now. You win in the arena of ideas, and you get more people to vote for Democrats. That's the key. You sell these policy ideas, and you win elections. And that's how Democrats, they don't, this court stuff, this social engineering through the court system has been struck down. It's done. It's over. It was a good run. But you can't win in a court of ideas. You can't win an election. You're making some gains here. But this is what I'm telling you. You could throw out what the Supreme Court has done. You throw out the three-judge panel. You just have a discussion about how do left-wing ideas become the ruling orthodoxy of Alabama and do a better job of selling it to the people of Alabama. It's that simple. It's all you got to do is tell people that there is virtue and allowing transgender females to coexist with females in a locker room and in sports settings. You can have universal abortion on demand. You can sell that to the people of Alabama. You can say that spending, we ought to have a higher tax rate, and we should have more wealth redistribution. We should expand Medicaid for everybody, socialize the hospitals, and if you could sell that, and you could do that, you could win elections. That's all you got to do. That's the trick. Jack writes, thoughts on Iran. I think we're getting, I don't like the way it's being handled by this administration. I think we are in a bad place. I'm not necessarily get striking Iran and taking out their nuclear capabilities. I understand that's something. For whatever reason that we view as a national security goal, and I'm, you know, fine with that. But what were the unintended consequences? How are they going to impact our lives? And they didn't really think this through. They didn't think about the Strait of Hormuz, a strategic location on the globe. And it doesn't really, here's the thing. The rest of the world's having to suffer. We are certainly suffering here in America, but you're choking off trade to the entire globe because the Iranians are mad at the Israelis and the Americans. Did we think this through fully? And it doesn't look like we did. There's sort of just, there's some oversights there. I think Trump was kind of conned into this, but he had the final say. I don't like being told every day that we're close to peace and then things escalate. It matters. I'm sorry that that upset some of you out there. Martin, the Democrats will be satisfied until black people are allowed to vote three times per person. A new text, you can't win when the system is rigged against you. Oh, but come November, we'll see what happens. Leo, I'm so happy the voting district was fixed so that I could vote against Ukraine-loving Jerry Carl. Hopefully Jerry Carl, this is from Mike, hopefully Jerry Carl will remain my congressman in the Citadel. I believe that is the case now. Gene, so now Alabama is entering this golden years when disenfranchising black folks making women submit a status quo and the real seal of approval from the Supreme Court. God bless us, we're going to need it. Making women submit a status quo. You really believe that, Gene?
It's where I drank my first
Gene, stop binge watching. Gene, if you really think that's going to happen, I mean, just move to Sweden or something, I guess. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Learn that happiness on earth ain't just for high achievement. Cowboys, and they still are unseen, sadly in search of one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Unnamed text, you don't hear from the governor because the voters don't hold elected Republicans accountable, leveraging the opposite party against them. Be dark. Maybe Tuberville Bunch is already running Alabama. No, I don't think so. Look, it's I got told a group of Republicans a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking to at Alabama. I think when Tommy Tuberville walks into the governor's suite, it's going to look like the Grinch who stole Christmas. They are going to, and I stole that from somebody, but they are not going to leave anything for the Tuberville administration. They are going to run up the credit card. Everything's going to be gone. There won't be any, there won't even be sodas in the drink machine. Coffee maker will be unplugged. I mean, it is going to, they're not going to do that group any favors at the transition. There will be, and I dare say there will be very little interaction between Tommy Tuberville and Kay Ivey. If there has, I mean, I'm surprised there has been already. And he's the senior United States Senator. Unnamed Texan Middle East leadership is notoriously hard to negotiate with as they always talk outside both sides of their mouth. I agree Trump needs to hush about it, so there's not, but it's not all about him. Yeah, I think so, but I think Trump matters because, I mean, markets move. I don't like being told that we're going to get peace tomorrow, and then instead it's a bombing mission into Iran. Sometimes it's just better to say nothing at all. Josh, the Supreme Court's latest rulings are the closest thing to freedom I have seen in my lifetime. All my life, I've lived under the racist laws that were made in the 60s to punish other racists. I took no part of this. I wasn't even born. So happy the Supreme Court just got a little less racist. I'm cool with Gene moving to Switzerland. Do you think he'll use the FM Talk 106.5 app to listen and text you? Probably. But Gene is a victim of, I think, just the Democratic Party culture and what they've made people believe it. Or maybe they don't even believe it, but it is kind of their MO that if X happens and X favors Republicans, then Y, the worst possible case scenario for humanity, is going to result. In 2024, if Donald Trump if Donald Trump wins this election, we'll never have another free democratic election in America again. Things like that. If they run up the credit card and be the Grinch, it sounds like they are replacing Democrats or Republicans. Well, no, I mean, they're running up the credit card in this sense that they have the Ivey administration and Aldott have bonded future gas tax revenues for the next 20 years to build the West Alabama corridor. They have borrowed against future income, future projections. And then the bond was written in such a way that the money couldn't be moved from the West Alabama corridor to something else. It's the toothpaste is literally out of the tube there. That the money has been spent already. Contracts have been let. And the state is obligated to build this highway that nobody really wants. Long past the time KIV leads office. Is that right? That you didn't vote for, you voted for a change, or you will vote for a change, no matter who it is, presumably Tommy Tuberville, but I guess it still could be Doug Jones. Who knows? And neither one of those two had any say in what the state did with this. That the state of Alabama is still collecting tax revenues in the name of the state of Alabama. And they had no say over it. They had no say. This was before they got into office. They were stuck with the bill. And that's wrong. That's immoral. And that's what this governor or somebody in her office, presumably, has done. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. Scott Stathagen, the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, come up in about an hour, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you want to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. We'll get to more of your texts. We'll talk about Scott Pelley, 60 Minutes, some other things going on around the state. Joining us now, he is the host of News and Views in the Afternoon. Always a pleasure to bring on my next guest, Joey Clark. Joey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for coming on. We always appreciate your time. Busy news night, huh?
Yeah. I mean, what a waste of money all these court cases are when we knew what the outcome was going to be. And I'm happy to see the Supreme Court side with Alabama. That's the one on top of my mind.
Well, and, you know, I was talking to Jerry Carl earlier, like he's the guy, he lost a congressional seat and he's had to run like essentially three elections here to get his old seat back. There's an unfairness about that. He's not really concerned with that, but it's just not the system that, you know, we're supposed to have. It's not democratic. I mean, he was elected by a congressional district and then the court came in and took his district away. And it turned out, and I think we're going to find out ultimately when it's all said and done, that was the wrong decision to make. And somebody should be held accountable for that.
I would love to see some clawback of expenses. I saw y'all running a story like that this morning. But it's just great to have the vindication on the legal side of the matter. And people can scream and stomp their feet and try to make the moral arguments like Pharaoh's back in town and let my people go. But we're back to the same map we've had for 30 years, especially think of somebody like Jerry Carl. But here, can I throw out a different angle? And I don't know what you would think of this, because right now, Caroline Dobson is sitting quite well, sitting pretty to be the next Secretary of State for Alabama. But I wonder what's in the back of her mind, if you could, you know, sit down for a drink with her, on if she had just waited a little bit and could have been running for Congress, especially in the new District 2 up in near Montgomery.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, somebody else who's a victim of all of this, you know. Now, look, that never would have come to have been because, Barry Moore, if he'd ran for Senate, you know, then that seat would have been open and the second congressional district would have been what it is. But, you know, one would have assumed that the court did not intervene, that we would have had a 2024 election with the regular 6-1 map and nothing would change. And we'd still be here today operating status quo, but Democrats got greedy. They won the battle, but they're going to lose the war. I mean, I just think it's that simple.
You think this whole mess was a bit of a catalyst for Barry to run for Senate, just having to run in different races? And like, it kind of just opened up this idea of like, well, we've been running for the last few years. Let's just keep going statewide.
Maybe. I think that had more to do with the Tommy Tuberville, yeah. That was unexpected, but he is battle tested. If he had still been congressman in the old AL2 that stretched from Prattville all the way down to Dothan, maybe, you know, there wouldn't have been, hey, I'm sitting pretty good here. But I don't think he was ever in danger of losing another Republican primary, but he was always going to have to deal with this. Maybe this was in the back of his mind. Maybe it wasn't going to be Jerry Carl. But it could have been someone from Mobile, and he was always going to have to shore up that Mobile into the district because he's a Wiregrass guy, and there was always going to be a sort of a clamoring in our neck of the woods here for someone from this part of the state to be representing, you know, the port and Baldwin County, et cetera. And then maybe he looked at it, he said, you know, like, I don't want to have to do this forever, and maybe I should just run for United States Senate.
Yeah, and back to another thing you said, the Democrats have to be wondering, because I think the Republicans, especially under a Governor Tuberville, unless this residency challenge all of a sudden works, but Governor Tuberville will definitely push a 7-0 map, and I can just see that come. Now, I think they should do that. Do you think they actually will do that?
I think they have to. I think at this point they have to, and it'll be they'll get pressure from two ends. Now, they're pretty good at resisting pressure from within the state. That's not good, but they are good at it. It's just the right wing extremist out there, and they're loud voices, and they're the ones. But where the pressure will come is from Washington, D.C. And whoever's trying to take control of Congress is going to say, hey, guys, you know, it would be really nice if you helped us with our numbers here in Alabama. And these guys will they will cave to that pressure before they will cave to any kind of grassroots effort in this state.
Yeah, and I think also Tuberville's going to be driving that home. I don't think he'll get all weak at the knees. I think he'll push that through. And I don't know, it's going to be fascinating to see the dynamic. But if I'm looking at the Democrats, you know, not just nationwide, but especially here in Alabama, I'm just wondering, what are y'all, what's y'all's plan? I don't see it.
Well, I wonder what the map will look like. What will the 7-0 map even be? Can they do it? Can they do it in a way that doesn't split up bona fide communities of interest? You always got to split up Birmingham. There's just too many people there. But can you get to 7-0 without necessarily splitting up Montgomery or, you know, having to split up some of these other counties? That'll be a little bit of a challenge going forward. Now, I could see them, you know, maybe you split. You just make 7 more Republican. And some of those Black Belt counties aren't all Democrat, especially in national elections. You have a higher Republican turnout than you do in primaries. So I guess it's feasible.
Yeah, I think that they should push forward. You're right. The devil's in the details on all of this.
Now, there'll be some people, and there will be some Republicans, some in our listening area, who will say, hey, it's good to have a 6-1 map. We need a Democrat as leverage. In case there's a Democrat Congress, all right. A Democrat speaker, a Democrat president, you need that emissary speaking. I reject that. I just don't think that is, it hasn't proven itself to work. Terry Sewell has not really done great things for the state of Alabama as the lone Democrat.
Right. And that goes to the heart of this whole, like, because people use it as like this symbolic moral emancipation thing that we have this congresswoman representing Black folks in Alabama. I'm like, what has she done for a district in particular? Like, she can focus on the major population areas, which leaves a lot of that district, well, where it is. And it's a shame. It's tragic. And it's like, maybe electing somebody to Congress is something that solves a huge issue like that. Maybe
when they first changed, you had Earl Hilliard, who was awful. He's taking trips to Libya, hanging out with Gaddafi. I mean, just totally the worst possible actor. And he got beat by Arthur Davis. Now, Arthur Davis, his greatest problem was being ambitious and trying to run for governor. But, like, he was generally kind of a moderate Democrat. Yellow Dog, he was against Obamacare. He took a lot of heat for that. It's just a problem for Arthur Davis running in the state is that Republicans were more excited about him than Democrats were. And exactly. The Republicans who were excited voted in the Republican primary that cycle. They didn't vote for him. So like the Arthur Davis phenomenon, ideally if you had an Arthur Davis type in that seat as a Democrat, that would be fine. But what you have with Terry Sewell, it's just unimpressive. Like, what are her signature accomplishments? And the thing I bring this up whenever I talk to these federal lawmakers, and like Alabama is not where it used to be getting the federal money for highways. They don't do earmarks anymore, so you don't have these big road projects federally financed. And we talk about the West Alabama corridor all the time, that we're in such a place in America with transportation dollars that they didn't even bother trying to get federal money for that West Alabama corridor. And you look, well, Terry Sewell is supposed to be this big Democrat champion for the state. She didn't even try. Like, they didn't even see her as a viable option, as someone who is high ranking. She has been there a while, since 2010. She has seniority. They didn't even look at her, view her as a viable option to bring home money to one of the most impoverished districts in the country and help build this highway in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, how do you not sell that? How can you not, at least, I mean, that should be a bipartisan thing, even, like, if you could sell it in a certain way. But Yeah, it's a shame, and maybe this is a wake-up call to the Democratic Party. And to zoom out on this a little bit, my sense is whoever takes over the National Democrats again, especially if they want to be very competitive, and you know, maybe I'm just wrong on this, but I think it's going to be a certain tone of voice, and it will probably come from the South. Now, I don't know if that's Georgia or if that's the Carolinas or wherever, but it would be interesting to see, like, Alabama Democrats are like, okay, we're whooped in the state.
Well, yeah, right.
Like, so why not create a bastion of, like, a certain point of view culture and, you know, try to find somebody to
– I think you're absolutely right there. They have used these sort of gimmick plays, which is, you know, lawfare, congressional gerrymandering, as a crutch. That they don't have to win in the arena of ideas. They had the courts impose restrictions on the prevailing majority to give them a chance. And I mean, that's, you know, that is diversity, equity, and inclusion. That is equity right there. That is not earning it, where they now, maybe they have to like, look at it's a marketplace of ideas. It is a market-based political system, and they don't know how to, or they haven't had to play in it.
Though I think the short-term future for Democrats in the state of Alabama is both Mayor Stephen Reed, if he remains mayor next year, and Woodfin. Can you imagine the fights that are coming our way between them and a Governor Tuberville? Ooh, I think it's going to be – and even – I think both sides might even see it kind of as good theater, and it plays into all sorts of dynamics. It'll just work for both sides, but I can see that coming a mile away.
Woodfin and Reed are going to lose. They have very few W's against the state.
Yeah, but you can still raise plenty of money and feather your own nest where you do have the.
I mean, I suppose, but I'm telling you, like, they're just going to be. They're going to be the type of people who throw themselves in front of the train and cry martyr or whatever. And is that the best political strategy?
No, not for a party and not for a true vision and actually helping folks out, but maybe for an individual to keep their name ID up.
Yeah, you know, well, then how do you take that martyrdom, that self-imposed martyrdom, and how does that translate to anything other than Mayor of Birmingham or Montgomery?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is a huge ceiling to it. And I don't think we're going to get like a Buttigieg effect of, okay, out of South Bend, Indiana, we're running for president now.
No. And, you know, like you could go to some cities where you have African-American leadership and things are tangibly better. That it's the streets seem safer. There's development. There are businesses coming along. And it's maybe not a product of necessarily of the leadership, but whatever it has happened, and that's not really what's going on. And that the opposite, I think, is going on in Montgomery. I think under Todd Strange that there was sort of that turnaround, but Montgomery's not a place where people want to live right now. And for about, and you tell me this for like a hot moment, it seemed like it was. I think Mobile is the opposite. I think Stimson. You know, people kind of looked at Mobile and, hey, you know, living in a community and living where, you know, in a neighborhood and part of a bigger city is not that bad.
Yeah, I think Montgomery has lost a lot of momentum, especially out of the pandemic, in particular, the policing of the city. But yeah, just also there's a, I can't prove it. And maybe, you know, more great investigative reporting will find out more detailed facts of what's going on. But it just seems like there's a lot of pay-to-play schemes, a lot of, even if it's not illegal, a lot of legal graft. Like, decisions are not being made in order to really have everybody roll in the right direction and do what's best for the city overall. It's more like rewarding friends and punishing enemies. And that's just an unhealthy dynamic. And if I had to choose between Montgomery and Birmingham, I actually think Woodfin and Birmingham, though there are problems, they're at least moving in the right direction, say, on something like policing. Whereas with Montgomery, it's just a mess right now.
Well, if you put this two side by side, the city side by side, it's kind of an interesting discussion. What really drives Montgomery is the seat of power. It's government. It's the government bureaucracies. It's all the people who work in government. In Birmingham, their claim to fame is the heart of the business community of the state. It's where all the big mules have their headquarters. So the influence is there. I think like one is government and one is the private sector. The private sector one seems to be doing faring somewhat better than the one that is just kind of in this pro-government mentality.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to even begin with Montgomery. I begin my show every day saying Montgomery needs a new mayor. And so I think leadership is always who the blame falls on, and you need a more dynamic leader than the current fellow we have. But we'll see what the people choose, I guess, next year as we go into that election cycle locally.
Well, there's just the problem with Montgomery. And I think the Joe Reed machine thrives right now. Joe Reed may not be the Joe Reed of the 1990s, but he's still, if you're a Democrat in this state, it still goes through Joe Reed headquarters. And I'm telling you, Joey, don't count out Shamari Figures. If he's able to do whatever it takes to win that crowd over, and we'll look at this AL2, and right now Democrats are red hot. They're raring to go. And you have an incumbent congressman who could raise $1 million by just walking to the mailbox. That will be a competitive general election.
Well, and I've been saying, and I'm going to continue to repeat it because I want it to somewhat stick in people's minds who are paying attention. It is going to be fascinating to watch the succession fight over the keys of the kingdom that Joe Reed built. And it might not be somebody with his last name, and it could very well be somebody with the last name Woodfin or Figures. I think it's going to be a interesting thing for even conservatives to watch what the Democrats, in particular the black community, does here in the state.
Well, you just need a Cory Booker like he was for the city of Newark, right? And now he's a terrible senator, but he was a good mayor. Like you need, this is the Adam Carolla theorem that Democrats like really, they're so focused on the globally, but they suck locally. And when you find a Democrat that's good locally, then those are the ones who tend to do better than the others. And that's what kind of like the state of Alabama needs in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, you say Cory Booker. I was talking about him yesterday. He was talking to Rubio in that Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and it brought back the memory. You remember in the primary for president how all the Democrats just on a particular debates just jumped right out the gate with Spanish? Joe Soy, Cory Booker.
Like, bro, don't do that. Yeah. Especially New Jersey, where there is a thriving Hispanic population. Hey, Joey, folks will find you online. Where can they look?
At Joey Clark on X or Joey Clark Live on YouTube.
Joey Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Joey, thanks again.
Appreciate it.
All right, we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I need my rest, but if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Hey, yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hell raisers. People get out of our way wherever we go.
Come and date alive like I do every night from the heart of Uranio. I play a little sad and I play a lot of glad and a few old songs. Here's open everybody out in radio land. Find the love just as true.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show. FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line, you need to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Scott Stedeg, and the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, coming up in the next hour. So please make sure you tune in or stay tuned for that. Monty says Jack Cooper is running the state. I don't think so. He's got he's seen better days. I think he is. The only reason I believe that John Cooper is still ALDOT director, because he was supposed to retire like 5 years ago. And there was a lot of chatter about who was going to take his spot. They were like interviewing people, making promises. And one of those candidates for the job had the rug pulled out from under him at the last minute. And it was sort of an odd thing, but the reason I think was that Governor Ivey wanted someone to build the West Alabama corridor. And the only person willing to do that, willing to sacrifice every other project if needed in the state to get this thing going, was him. She trusted him. She knew that he would move heaven and earth to do it. And this will be their crowning legacy. It will be a four-lane highway from Thomasville to Moundville, bypasses Linden and Greensboro, and an overpass over Highway 80. That will be, they will name something after John Cooper. They will name something after Kay Ivey. And that will be their legacy. Kind of a sad legacy, if you ask me. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.